Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back. This is Abraham Hamilton III in for Tim Wildman, and I'm actually the co-host in for the main host, Tim Wildman, and I'm here, and Ed Vitagliano is here with me. We are discussing the top issues of the day. We've had some great guests on so far. In about a little more than a little under 5 minutes, we'll have Alex McFarland with us to discuss probably a whole host of issues, but we're supposed to talk about question 19 from his book, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask You. Your children will ask you about Christianity, but you know, Alex is a wealth of information and a great resource, so we will probably do more than that. Ed, I was thinking, just to kind of zoom out a little bit, concerning this this general election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump for president. And right at the top of most people's, not necessarily those who are in the know politically, but most Main Street Americans, some of the top level objections to Donald Trump would more than likely revolve around, you know, his personal scandal, you know, him being the serial husband.
Yes.
I refer to it. So I think
he's been married three times.
Yes. So I would think that as a result, he's probably trying to address that by making his children a highlight of this campaign going forward from the convention. And I think that was a pretty shrewd move. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it is a shrewd move. And I tell you what, when you're doing anything, but especially running for president, you want to put forward your best assets. And he clearly believes that his wife, Melania, and his children are some of the best things about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So that's understandable if it's true. And he has he seems to have confidence in those members of his family. He's obviously very proud of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, his background. You know, I have not read the book Art of the Deal, but you know, in reading up excerpts and, you know, criticisms of it from evangelicals, a lot of evangelicals were not happy with the fact that he bragged about committing adultery countless times. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's countless, I mean, but many times. And with, you know, having sexual relationships with married women. And that obviously and rightly bothers evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that is still Donald Trump. That's an old book. I think that's from the 90s or something.
Right.
And so I'm willing on that part to take a step back and take a wait and see attitude in terms of has he left that man behind.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about on this program, you know, numerous times, you know, about his understanding of Christianity and those kind of things. But it's obvious that he believes his children and his wife are some of the best things about him. So you want to use those, as well as the people who support him, Chris Christie and Ben Carson and others who have come along. And I have to say, I wasn't sure what to expect this week from the GOP convention. There's all this talk about, you know, Jeb Bush is not going to be there. What's Ted Cruz going to say tonight? I've been pleasantly surprised. I think it's gone off well. I think they're kind of hitting the right messages, and he is a unique guy, Donald Trump, and so it's been a very unique GOP primary season, and it's been a very unique convention. The first night when he introduced his wife, they had that kind of WWF, you know, that wrestling thing.
And
with,
now.
Yeah. It was just, and I just shook my head. I didn't, you know, think it was bad or wrong, but I did hear a funny comment. Some of the Democrats in support of Clinton who were with some of the media people, I think it was on Fox News or whatever, they watched that and they turned to the Fox people and they said, you know, conservatives criticized candidate Obama when he, at the convention, had those pillars. Remember those Roman pillars?
Yes,
you know?
I remember them.
And he said, you criticize us for that, and now you have a wrestling, you know, a guy coming in wrestling background, you know, there's a fog machine and all that. It was so he is a unique individual, and everything about this convention has been pretty unique. So anyway, folks, guess what? We're going to talk about this for the rest of the week, except on Trivia Friday. And then next week, we talk about the Democratic convention. So anyway, we want to welcome Alex McFarland, no stranger to this program or this network or this ministry. Alex is an author and apologetics expert, co-host of Exploring the Word with Bert Harper, which is heard weekdays on American Family Radio at 3 p.m. Central Time. He's also author of the book we're discussing with him and have been for, seems like, the last 15 years. But the 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity, and we're going to cover question number 19 today. Why do Christians judge everybody? But first, Alex, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Abe and Ed, two men for whom I have immeasurable respect. It's great to be on with you.
Oh, don't stop. Keep going. We just keep
Well, you guys are intelligent. You're articulate.
I know you hadn't said good looking.
You have some music to underscore this right here?
You hadn't said good looking. All right. Hey, Alex, I know you want to talk some about the convention. So we're gonna do that right off the top here. We're going to give you some opportunity to say some things about what you've seen and heard. Now, you're not at the convention, right? Where are you?
No, I'm in North Carolina right now. I'm actually headed to Oklahoma. There's a wonderful conference this weekend called Reclaiming America for Christ. Yeah. And Paul Blair and a lot of great people are going to be there, Anita Bryant. And I'm en route to Oklahoma for the Reclaiming America for Christ. Let me digress for just a second. Shortly after 9/11, I went to New York City with the Billy Graham Ministry. I had been on Decision Radio back in the summer of 2001, and when 9/11 happened, they called me like that morning, September 11. They said, "Hey, look, do you know anything about Islam? Do you know anything about grief counseling?" And I said, "I do." They said, "Well, we're going to Ground Zero with Samaritan's Purse, Billy Graham. Can you come?" Well, just in the providence of God, I had booked out a week of vacation, which I never do. I rarely take much vacation. But I said, sure. My wife and I prayed about it. Within hours after 9/11, I was on a bus with Samaritan's Purse and Billy Graham to go to New York, and we were up there for over 2 weeks. Well, many times during that period, we were with meetings of Rudolph Giuliani. Mm-hmm. And I met him a time or two at different things, met him in the Washington airport. So I've admired Rudolph Giuliani from afar for some time. The way that he was, ministering to New York City after 9/11. And I mean, I was there, saw it firsthand, and he would come in and make speeches, and it was just a consummate leader, a person for whom I have great respect. Now, the reason I tell you that is because Monday night, I don't know if anybody heard this at the convention, but I thought this was significant. He said, did you guys see the speech that Giuliani gave Monday night? That was a barn burner of a speech.
Yes, it was.
You know, I was sitting there going, okay, I want to vote for him for anything, you know. But he said, I'm going to break a promise to Donald Trump. Mm. Do you remember what he said?
Yeah, I remember what he said, yeah.
And he was talking about, as mayor of New York, when there were families that had need. And, after 9/11, there were some families that, you know, just had a lot of financial needs and this, that, and the other. And throughout New York, he said Donald Trump would come through and say, look, if you need money, here's money. Don't use my name. But if you have a family that has a financial need, call me. I'll cover it. Just don't tell it. And right. Giuliani said, look, I've never told it, but I'm going to tell it. This is the kind of man that is. Now, look, I know that's not what saves you, but that's a commendable thing. And I guess to so many of the people, I get emails every day. They're like, Alex, you know, what Kool-Aid did you drink that you're for Donald Trump? It's not that I'm not endorsing everything he's ever said or done, obviously, but given the two choices, you know, for me, it's really not a hard decision to make. And when I hear testimonies like a Giuliani saying, look, this is a guy who anonymously wanted to help people in need. And I've heard so many stories like that. I've heard stories like that from, people like Jerry Falwell Jr. look, if I've said this and I'll say it again, I mean, if it were up to me, the nominees would be Billy Graham and James Dobson, you know.
That's right.
But we have what we have. And given the two options, as a Christian, as an American, looking at the Supreme Court nominees, looking at the economy, looking at our relationship with Israel, looking at national defense, looking at the point of law, following the point of law. I've got to say this, and we can move on if you want to, but the greatest line of the night last night when Donald Trump Jr. spoke, and he said Hillary Clinton would be the first president who couldn't pass a basic background check.
Yeah,
I nearly fell over. Yeah. That was pretty funny.
There's been
it?
Some pretty good lines over the last couple of nights. So, well, listen, we appreciate that insight. And I do remember Rudy Giuliani saying that. And, you know, Giuliani is, you know, his performance was, I think it's being called a 10 cup of coffee performance, a speech, because he seemed to be on either adrenaline had kicked in or caffeine. I'm not sure, but it was a pretty rousing speech. And in fact, one of the hosts of the Five on Fox, Greg Gutfeld, said, "Why can't we vote this guy for president?" But so he's had his shot at that. But I did appreciate those comments. All right, listen, let's switch gears here. We want to talk to you, Alex, about a book that we obviously believe in here at American Family Radio. It's one that you wrote. It's titled The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. We believe in this book so much that we actually had you, we flew you in, and American Family Studios videoed you actually teaching your way through these 21 tough questions. And we've put all that together into a package, folks, that you can get your hands on. Now, you may, if you know nothing about it, that means you don't listen to today's issues on Wednesdays, because we've been talking to Alex about it. But listen in here for the next few minutes. You're going to want to get a copy, your hands on this curriculum, which is perfect for families, for Sunday school classes, for small groups, for churches on a Sunday night. It is the DVD curriculum and the books. We're going to get Alex to explain that a little bit. But Alex, tell our listeners why you did this, and then introduce question number 19.
Oh, well, thanks very much. You know, one of my passions, I do a lot of things. I do radio with American Family Association and write. But, I mean, if there's one button on my keyboard, it's that we pass the faith on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. You know, I speak to teens virtually every weekend. My passion is reaching young people, not only seeing them come to faith in Christ, but seeing them have a biblical worldview, so that wherever life takes them, they will take a Christian perspective on life with them. And, you know, surveys show that on issues like abortion and religious liberty and Islam and, you know, gender issues, sexual identity, social justice, poverty, the authority of government, you know, all these issues, even, you know, ethical issues and, you know, political participation and the role of government, basically, how do I integrate my Christianity into my day-to-day life? 74% of your youth groupers are saying, we wish the church would speak to these issues. Mm. Now, many ministers, you know, they don't want to sully themselves with politics or things like that. But of your youth groupers, and if you look at your youth group, if you've got 25 in youth group, or if you've got, you know, 500, 3 out of 4 are basically saying, we wish the church would tell us, what does God have to say about all these issues, if indeed God has anything to say? And of course, we know he does, that we know that the Word of God and the Christian worldview has solid ground to stand on any of these issues. And why we did the 21 Questions video curriculum with Jeff Shambly and American Family Studios, and dear listeners, why we want you to get this and go through it with your family is because we are passionate about seeing the upcoming generation, your kids and the teenagers in your life, that we want them to not fall away when they go to college. And we want them to not get disconverted when they're sitting under some leftist professor at the state university. And, you know, the cool thing, Abe and Ed, as mom and dad go through the 21 questions your kids are asking, you know, let's equip our young people to thrive for Jesus. As mom and dad, you know, take the family through that, they're going to drill down deeply and get stronger in their own faith too as well. Isn't that a good ancillary benefit?
Absolutely. I do think it is. And I've said it this way, contrary to popular belief, it is not the church's responsibility nor the youth group's responsibility for discipling our children. It's the parents' responsibility. And I think there are lots of families that miss out on the benefit both to the parents as leading in that function as well as to the children. Because as you said, when parents take that challenge on, it causes them to drill down more. Most everybody can recognize, I mean, I teach the Bible, Ed is pastor and is a Bible teacher, so are you, Alex. You study at a different level when you know you have to make a presentation.
Of course.
And then you add on to that, in your own children, you have an immediate source of accountability. Because you know, once you present it to your children, this is not like making a public presentation to people you don't know. This is right there in your home. So when you say things like a soft answer turns away wrath, you know, it kind of makes dad think twice before he may blow up about something in the home. So you have that immediate source of accountability. Then on the children's end, they have an in-home source of continued instruction and an immediate example of what it's supposed to look like right there in the home. So it has benefits both for the parents and for the children.
So what we did, you know, I'm on the road speaking like all the time, and over 2013, 2014, and part of 2015, you know, I was doing surveys. So what we did in the 21 questions, interviewing literally hundreds of families and mostly kids like 5 to 12 years old, these are the actual questions from the actual kids, you know, that we talked to. And one of them was, and this is really question 19, and by the way, I want to say a big thanks to Tim Wildman for allowing us to carve out some time on Wednesdays and go through all of these, because what we want you to do, folks, afastore.net, you get the book I wrote based on research with families, children. I interviewed James Dobson, Kay Arthur, some Christian psychologists and child-rearing experts, John Rosemond, who many of your listeners might be aware of, but from the kids, from great thinkers, and from my own research, we feel like we've got a resource that will help families very fruitfully respond to the questions that your kids really are grappling with. And so what you do, you get the book, you get these DVDs that we filmed there with American Family Studio, you get a study guide, and you get a leader's guide. Now, some churches are using this on Wednesday night for their small groups. Some are using it in Sunday school. We've heard from families that are doing it just as a couple, and then others that in their home, you know, they gather around the video player and, you know, six, eight, you know, couples in a home are going through this. But what, regardless of whether it's in your church or in your home, we're all about getting the body of Christ ramped up to thrive for the gospel in this culture. And we want to see your kids emerge as champions for the Lord. And we believe this resource is going to help them do that.
And folks, you can get a copy of this curriculum by going to afastore.net, as Alex mentioned, or you can call 877-927-4917. That's 877-927-4917. How much does all that cost, you ask? Well, it's $39.99. Now, $39.99. $39.99. That is a great deal. Folks, the kinds of issues. Now, if you're a parent, you're listening, ask yourself if you could, how easy it would be for you to answer these questions, which are actual questions that kids ask. Why does God allow evil? Why does God allow suffering? Why is God so unfair? Why doesn't God make my life easy? Did Jesus ever sin? Is Jesus really God? When is Jesus coming back? When I pray, who is listening, God or Jesus? Will the Holy Spirit leave me if I keep sinning? This guy at school says the Bible contradicts itself. Is that true? And then today's question that we're going to ask Alex to answer right now is, Question number 19, why do Christians judge everybody? Now, obviously, Alex, we go through these really quickly, so they're going to get a lot more in-depth answers. But these are great questions, and they're hard questions. What would you say about number 19?
Well, you know, it's interesting. For many years, probably the most famous verse in the Bible was John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." When I speak at universities, as I do pretty frequently, probably the most discussed verse is Matthew 7:1, "Judge not that you be not judged." And you know, that's become kind of a mantra that a lot of young people that are skeptical about the faith, they'll say, well, you know, the core value of Christianity is not to judge. And that's not true. In fact, you know, in Matthew 7, what Christ is really saying is, you know, somebody shouldn't say, how did so-and-so get to heaven? Because I'm way better than him. We're not to be judgmental in that respect because we're all sinners. None of us is worthy. Only through the righteousness of Christ could any of us be ready to stand before God one day. But Matthew 7 has become kind of the de facto belief that that's what Christianity is all about. Judge not that you be not judged. And that's not what it's saying at all. Now, the question, and these were usually the 11, 12, 13-year-olds that would ask this, why do Christians judge everybody? The basic answer is this, that it's not we who judge anybody. It's the Word of God that judges all of us. People say, you have no right to judge. I would say, you're absolutely right. I'm just a sinner too. I'm a saved sinner, but however, there is something that most certainly is qualified to assess the spiritual condition of all of us, and that's the Word of God. And we need to make sure that we always, as Billy Graham says, throw it back on God. You're right, we can't judge people because, you know, a drowning man can't save a drowning man. A sinner can't judge a sinner. However, the Word of God and the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, in light of those things, we all stand guilty before God, don't we?
Amen. No, it's a great answer because, as you said, and as Billy Graham said, it throws it back on God. And what that does when you say the Word of God judges us is it allows you to nudge people in the direction of reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit, of course, brings conviction when that happens. A DVD curriculum with the books is $39.99, folks. You can go to afastore.net or you can call 877-927-4917, 877-927-4917. Our guest has been Alex McFarland, who's author, apologetics expert. He's a professor. I mean, he's got a long bio, very impressive. He's co-host of Exploring the Word with Bert Harper, which is heard weekdays on AFR at 3 p.m. Central Time. And he is author of the book we've been discussing, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. Alex, once again, thank you so much for being on with us here on today's issues.
Oh, you guys are awesome. It's always an honor. And AFR has the greatest listening audience in all of radio.
And no arguments for me on that.
Bless you all.
Alex, have a good time. You make us proud out in Oklahoma this coming weekend. We're always proud of what God is doing through you.
God bless you.
All right, folks, that's it. Ed Vitagliano and Abe Hamilton have been your gracious hosts today. we just ooze grace and good, clean living.
And humility.
And humility. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. This has been today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. More great programming as the day unfolds. Stay tuned for it. And Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of today's issues.